is having overdue, what do you think? Bills. Having overdue bills. That's symptom number two. Now, a lot of times, not all the times, but this symptom is really the result of requiring more possessions than we can afford. Acquiring more possessions than we can afford. Because everybody else has them, can't we? We're not talking about needs here. Food and clothing. And if you go with that, shelter. But we are talking about having this and having that and having this. I can tell you so much about different stories of different people. And really, they're funny in a way. But when you're living through this, it's not funny at all, right? But Tana and I, we know people that, you know, complain that they don't have enough money, but yet they'll spend $100 on this or that, or you know what I mean. And it's not necessary. It's not needed. So one of the things that we have to do is understand that when we start getting with overdue bills and we start paying our bills with our credit cards, right, you know, to try to, we're in this cycle, right? We're in a cycle that the outcome is not good at all. Okay, long-term outcome, it is not good. You get momentary relief, right? You get momentary relief, okay, that's paid for, and you know, this kind of thing, but yet the next month it still comes up. And I have to say, in our area, the monthly expenses to run a house in our area are very high, actually. And I'm always surprised at it. And of course, having a budget with gas, right? Because of the way we're gouged, it really is, it's too bad. So let's go ahead and we're going to look up some scripture. And why doesn't, Tana, you want to get Proverbs 27:12? Proverbs 27:12. You're already there? I'm not. I got to make sure you read it correctly, right? Be Berean. I want to make sure that's what it says. Okay, go for it.
A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished.
Okay. Now, prudent being a wise or somebody that's following after things, and you say we're taking that verse and we're putting it in the area of finances. With myself, and as you know, that for years I didn't handle our money properly. All it was trying to get by the next month. So if you have overdue bills, this is a symptom. Now, and then what would be, for the most part, it's okay to be, this is where you need to be honest, okay? So what's the answer that most people come up with when their bills are overdue and they don't have the money and they put it on the credit card? And what is the answer then, a lot of times, for that person? To earn more money. Okay, that's the answer. Somehow I need more money. Okay, so you'd be like some that spend $50 to $100 a month on lotto. Right, but we'll get into all that in just a minute, okay? And so, you know, be prudent. Know that there's a future. Know what your future holds. And now they got smart meters. Yeah, they got smart meters now. I got one on my house. You get one, too? They came around, boy. They're putting them all over our area. And they're smart meters, so they don't even come and read them anymore. You don't get averaging or anything like that. You're going to get the what you do. And if unless you're on that program where you can even out your account, right, we like to go on that. That, you know, they look at your average and then you pay that much a month because it's easier to develop a budget that way, right? But if you're not on that, I can tell you this winter you're going to come up with some bills that'll raise your hair. But if you're prudent, you should know that and you should already be planning for it. In other words, you should be laying aside money so that when it comes, you'll be ready because, lend you his chainsaw and get firewood, right? Yeah. But if you burn firewood, if you buy a fireplace for $700 to $1,200, $1,400 at Canadian Tire, and you put it in your house, and then you have to understand that your insurance bill is going to go up about $50 to $60 a month if you let them know that you have a freestanding wood-burning stove. If you don't, when it burns down, they won't honor it. And it's quite a deal. So even wood, there is a cost to wood. There is a real cost to wood for, you know, all of that. You need to know that. Overdue bills, anyways. Okay. Symptom number three is inability to save money. Inability to save money. And you should have some savings. And if you don't have savings, then now Tana's got her savings. She is, and some of you in here, I know that you've got your nest eggs too. Tana's got her savings, and she's got Tana's stuff, and I got Tom's stuff. And then we have our stuff. But anyways, we have savings, right, that we can really do whatever we want to. But now I'm more talking rather than individual savings. I'm talking about, corporately, the family savings. And you should have enough in there so that when something breaks, right? Is something going to break? Mm-hmm. Might as well count on it. Something breaks. Wintertime cars break. All my cars that have blown up and broken real bad, it's always been in the winter. I don't know why that is, but it must be that, you know, that breaks. And so you need this, you need that, you need tires, you need whatever, you know. And so having money in advance, and you don't need as much as you think. Really, you know, really, if you think about it, in our economy today, what is a couple thousand dollars? It isn't, I know that if you're pinched, I know it sounds like a lot, but in our economy that people are making many thousands of dollars a month, right? No. I happened to, this guy, he had a Twin R Logging. He told me today that this guy cut out and left his work. And I'm real glad that he paid for the saws that I had rebuilt because he's gone now. But anyways, he pays his faller $75 an hour. That's good money. $75 an hour. And he says, and if they're good workers, then he likes to even give them bonuses because they knock down so many trees. Of course, they're professionals, right? He said that the guy wanted to work for $95 an hour. Man, that's what lawyers make, you know. But it's an inability to save money. So you need to somehow get so that when it breaks, you don't have to go, you know, into the charge route, into the thing, and it disrupts your whole economy. But for a person that's in financial bondage, they cannot seem to get that done. Okay, but yet, this is the rub, okay, where, you know, with me as being a pastor, there's like these rubs that I have, right? I want to be compassionate with people, and yet I see the same people that have this problem doing this and doing that and spending what I consider a lot of money very frivolously, right? But I know why they do it. I've been there, done that sort of thing. But anyways, overdue bills, right? And okay, let's see here. Inability to save money. And Proverbs 21:20. Who's got that one?
I'm there.
You got it?
Yes. There is treasure to be desired, and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spends it up.
Mm-hmm. Can't rub two nickels together and not spend it, right? There's old sayings, you know. If you have money in your pocket, it's almost like you have to spend it, right? You're on something or another. And so when we take this, that you're not satisfied with your financial status, you want things, you want the new, you want the shiny, and you can always justify it. Haven't you justified something that you spent or something that you purchased, and you your mind is going and you're justifying it, right? Oh, yes, but if I have this, this is this, and oh, I need a new fancy shiny one because then it won't nickel and dime me. Of course, it's $500 a month to pay for it, but you know, it won't, so it's not nickel and diming you anymore. It's like taking a big chunk of your pay. And, you know, we justify these things. We can do all that, right? And we don't have any money in the bank. We have overdue bills because of these decisions that are there. We have to come to understand that we're not satisfied with what the Lord has given us. And cannot the Lord preserve what we have and help us to be good stewards of our old things so that they last long and that you get the full benefit of that possession? It is, you have to understand that if you follow the Lord's will in these matters, that this bounty that he promises and his promises is your reward on this earth. Okay, he has given us things and possessions, and he tells us, especially in Ecclesiastes, that it's your reward. It's your reward for doing right. But if you don't follow the principles, then there's not the rewards that he promised. The devourer and other things eat them up, right? And we don't take care of them and they fall apart. And I really believe that the Lord has helped. Really, I really feel that the Lord has helped me with vehicles and everything, that they last a long time. Not that they don't need maintenance, but they do. But I get a full benefit from, of course, the things that I own. And you need to take care of them. It's precious. You need to take care of them properly. So we got those. Financial status, bills, inability to save. Obsession, number four, obsession with appearance. We're really caring what people think about us. But an obsession isn't really caring. It's like going way overboard, right? That's an obsession. We want to appear to be something that we're not. So here's the saying. As someone has accurately said, many people buy things they cannot afford with money they don't have to impress people they don't like. So it's a good saying. And you can fall into that. You can fall into that. And I can understand the pressure of society. Everybody has one. You know what I mean? Bright, new, shiny. To this day, I don't know where all those high school students got all these brand new vehicles and cars and trucks and, you know, worth, you know, $40,000, $60,000. I go, wow, man, where did they ever afford those? Well, you say their parents afford them. I doubt that. I doubt if they bought them with cash or anything else like that. But an obsession with appearance. Judge yourself in this matter. Have you made these decisions because you're wanting to do this or that? Now, I know there's insecurities with savings and many things that money, but remember, money is the divine test, right? It is a test. And if you're going to grow in the Lord, you need to get this financial thing under control. And I'm not saying that after you get it under control, you're not going to be tempted. I'm not saying that after you get it under control, you're not going to fall. I'm not saying any of those things. But you have to make a determination that you want to live debt-free. And then there's wisdom. Like I said, we're going to get into a lot of that. But not yet. Because first off, for me, I have to give you all this information for you to decide if you've got a problem. Because if you decide you don't have a problem, then this is just going to go, I'm flapping my lips here, and it's going to go in one ear, the proverbial in here, and you know, it's going to go out there. But I have to get you to understand that you might be in financial bondage. And if you're not, praise the Lord, because when you take this questionnaire here, it's actually going to, you're going to find out how, where you are in this situation, right? And the inability to save, the obsession with appearance. How about 1 Samuel 16:7? Who wants to get that one? Anybody at 1 Samuel 16? Go ahead, Angela.
But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not a man, not as a man seeth. For a man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart.
Okay. Man does look on the outward appearance. There's two things you need to learn at that. Man does look on the outward appearance. And in some ways, it is okay that you understand that. That's as a Christian, you should appear as a Christian, right? Man looks on the outside. But then there's this other side of that, which is the main teaching of that verse, is that God knows your heart. And so whether it's appearance, inability to save money, why you're doing things with your money, what has your priorities, we can fool a lot of people, but I can tell you there's one that we're not going to be able to fool, and that's the Lord. And so understand that, right? Reveal the difference between how we look at each other and how God looks at us. And you need to understand that you need to have and please Him that knows all of our heart. Don't get caught up in the people-pleasing thing. It drives you to decisions that you don't want to go in, the areas that you don't want to be in. So that's symptom number four. Anybody have a number five? Well, let me read this, okay. Studies show that most millionaires don't appear to be millionaires. Amongst the traits of those that become wealthy, number one is that they live well below their means. They choose to acquire wealth rather than high status material possessions. There's very few things in this world that appreciate. Most of the things in our world, what is the word? It's not appreciate, it's what? Depreciate. And if you think your house is that good of a thing, if you've ever done the studies, okay, about renting versus owning a house, it ends up that if you could save by renting and take that money and put it in savings and earn interest on it, after that 30, 40 years, you'll be surprised. But what's the problem? Most of us can't put the money in the bank and save it. That's the problem. Really, I know people think they're going to make all this money, but in our area, how flat has the market been in our area? It is like, you know, and how many areas has it just tanked, right? And the housing bubble, so-called, in Canada, it could collapse at any time because there is a bubble there, right? You understand that, especially in what, Toronto and, of course, Vancouver. As long as we have all these people coming in, we'll be okay, but it can really fall apart. But so all of our cars, they depreciate. Now, they have a good study on owning a vehicle here, so I don't want to touch into cars, okay? He knows a lot about cars. He does the buying and swapping, don't you? And when you drive 8 or 9 a year, right? And he understands how this all works, okay, very well. So if you want advice, he'll tell you. And but, you know, when you drive it off the lot, do you understand that if you have over a 3-year loan on your car, you will owe more money on that car than it's worth? And matter of fact, some study says a 2-year loan. After, you will actually owe more than the car is worth. And if you want to know something, you could ask my son about this. He found this out. And and learned a lesson of why the person has no longer a new car and he still owes $1,800. Wait a second, how does that work, right? But it does. So really, we'll get into that in just a little bit. Okay, symptom number five, risky investing. Now, in this, risky investing, what would you say, what's a phrase that we use for people that, what's their mindset if they're risky investing? I call it get rich quick. They don't, they're the ones that, I can't work for $10 or $15 an hour. They want the job that, you know, has to pay $1 zillion, right? But they're broke until they get it. And but investing, high risk investing. I also put in here gambling is a symptom of it, and lotto tickets are a symptom of it. They're looking for something. In Proverbs 28:22, somebody want to get that? Somebody already there? Proverbs 28:22. Now, have you noticed that we've been in Proverbs a lot? And if you remember a few years ago, maybe ever since I talk about Proverbs or you've heard me preaching, I've told you it really benefits a person that if they read a proverb a day, each day, read them all every month. Every month. Because in Proverbs is the financial relationship. It's there. And it really is good stuff. Okay, who's got Proverbs 28:22?
He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not, considereth not that poverty shall come upon him.
Mm-hmm. Hasteth to be rich, right? I would tell you to do what the scripture says, follow after it, work by the sweat of your brow, and if God wants to promote you in that, he will. He can. And your benefit of it long term, you'll learn enough wisdom with finances that if the Lord decides to bless you in this way, you'll be able to handle it. You won't be like all these rock stars that they get out there, they really, don't they make millions upon millions of dollars? And how many times when you're reading the headlines that they had to sell their houses for a $24 million house, 70 rooms, right, for two people. And, you know, and they had to sell it because, of course, what? They're going broke, right? And they end up not being very rich at all. They've gone, they don't know how to handle the money. Or whether it be boxers and or other these personalities that we know. I'll tell you, the 1860s, okay, you had the Hall brothers. Hall brothers went up the Salmo River and they went up the Hall Creek and they discovered gold and then they discovered copper, one of the biggest copper deposits in this whole area at that time. They were bought out for $1 million. Now this is, we're talking about 1880s here, so this is way back, okay? $1 million was a lot of money. They went back, and they, on the reserve, and they spent it all and died broke. Can you imagine? Just with whatever, right? And so they got rich very quick. And a lot of prospectors have this problem, right? I do prospecting. I haven't for 2 years, but I have. But the allure is what? You're going to find the mother load, right? And it doesn't happen. But anyways, so investing, risky investing, if you haste it to be rich, if the motivation is I'm going to get rich, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, then it has says you have an evil eye. That's quite an expression. Old Italians like to use that one, huh? It was there. Okay, number six. Number six is accumulating debt. We cannot borrow our way into prosperity or borrow our way out of debt. Borrowing money for depreciating items just gives us an illusion of prosperity. Okay? Now you say, well, I know this guy that did this. Okay, but you're not that guy. And I know this person that did this. Okay, but you're not that guy. Most of us, all we are doing is digging ourselves a hole. We're just going in around and around and around. And we cannot borrow our way to prosperity or borrow our way out of debt. Borrowing money for depreciating items just gives us the illusion of prosperity. And to some, that illusion is enough to satisfy them, but someday there is always a payday. And it catches up with you. And you don't want it to catch up with you because great is the fall of it, right? When things collapse, there's been a, you know all those homeless people that you look at? Have you ever talked to homeless people? Did you know a lot of homeless people really had a lot going for them? A lot of them were doctors, lawyers, you know, I mean, wealthy people, talented people, and it fell apart, right? Now, a lot of them went through a divorce, and financial, I think you mentioned it, or we mentioned at the beginning, that finances are really the problem. And about, they say, 50 to 75% of the divorces, finances, are there. And I can see it so happening. Tana and I, when we first got married, we lived in what was called, we called, what was it, Tana, our favorite?
The Pink Shack.
The Pink Shack, okay? But that's what we could afford. Today, these young people, they're getting married and buying a home that is something that took me 30 years to be able to get enough money to even buy it, you know, to even afford to get into it. But they're buying it right off. Both of them have to work. We've got these cross communications, children, you know, all, you know, it's all messed up. It is all messed up. And I say both of them have to work. It's not both of them decided to work. Both of them have to work to even make the bills. They went way out on a limb. And it causes tension. They don't know each other as they should. And it causes great tension. So accumulating debt, we went to. And let's see here. There's a question here. If we cannot pay off our credit cards in 60 days, if you cannot right now pay off your credit cards in 60 days, it says we are in financial bondage.
I would have said 30 days. 30.
Yeah, well, I know, but in this study, they put it at 60. But actually, 30 days is the reason that you say 30 is because that's when you get nailed with interest. So that you, if you pay your cards, if you use your card and pay them off right away, okay, you don't get nailed with the interest. So, but the debate is, how many people do that? Well, I do it. And Tana does it, right? And you do it? Okay. But how many of us have this tendency? We do that, right? And it is a discipline. You have to do this, right? Or it becomes this. But then the car breaks. No savings, right? You followed here, but you didn't follow here. Oh, well, we got to make a monthly payment. Well, you're just entered into, and that's what they're betting on. That's the reason they let us pay this stuff off. They're betting that we're going to fail. Okay, they're saying, no, you're not going to. As a matter of fact, I pay off my BMO card, which is what I use for the chainsaws. When I put something on it, I go in there and take it out of my bank and pay for it. I don't even let it go a week or 10 days. But a lot of places you need, well, I think you know how credit card orientated our world is. But anyways, so accumulating debt, you need to pay it off in 60 days. If you cannot pay off your credit cards, then you're in bondage. For what is that? The credit card? It isn't something that's appreciating. It's paying for something what is either depreciating or what's not even necessary for your life. You know, you wanted it, you bought it. Okay, that kind of thing. Okay, symptom number 7. Yeah.
Because they want air miles, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Air miles. I can tell you that I've been accumulating air miles for 20 something years, and I think I go from here to trail. The what?
They canceled them after a year or so.
Yeah, yeah. They're, if you don't use them, there's all these gimmicks and everything like that. Okay, so here's number 7, because today I'm going to give you your test, and you're going to fill it out, and you don't have to fill it out here, okay? Fill it out. I would tell you to really take it home and then decide what's going on here, okay? Symptom number 7, procrastinating getting out of debt. Always intending to trim our budget and get control of our finances, but never starting. In other words, you got all the good intentions in the world, but yet you never start. You're procrastinating, right? Oh, I'll do it next month. Oops, the car broke. Oh, I'll do it after Christmas, because, you know, Christmas, we got to buy the kids all these hundreds of dollars worth of stuff and, you know, that kind of stuff. Anyways, we're always procrastinating. There always seems to be a financial crisis that forces us to overspend. If we always promise ourselves we will start savings, i.e. next month, when the car is paid off, when we get the next raise, it will never happen. It's not going to happen. when you come to realize that indebtedness is you breaking wisdom laws of God, and in some cases, sinning against God, when you come to that realization and you know it's a, what does it say? That our sin has become exceedingly what? Sinful, right? And you determine, I have to get out of debt. I have to start on this road. I need to make the changes that are there. And then you'll do something. But if you keep on making the excuses, and I've used them all, you know, it's not going to happen. But when I determined it, it was because of what the scripture said. And I need it. I know for the long-term benefit of my family, myself, you know, and pleasing God, that it was the thing to do. There is always a financial crisis. It's never going to happen. Hebrews 4:7. What is the warning in the last part of that sentence? Again, he limits a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. You're going to have a choice in this matter. You have a choice. You're not an automaton. You have a free will. And you're going to decide whether you're going to follow the Lord's in this or if you're not. But it's going to require you to harden your heart. People have been praying. We know what the scripture says. It's plain and clear. It gives us more instructions as we go on. But you're going to have to decide whether you're going to harden your heart in this matter or not. Okay? Well, it's quarter after. And I am going to hand out this checklist. You can start it if you want. But I would tell you, just put it away. And as a family or husband and wife, please, just go ahead and make it out.